and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business, design, tech, and culture. I am Fuzz and Iso, and today we're joined by five new label mates, all experts in their field, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello, everyone. A quick rundown of who we're chatting to today. So we have Liza Sutherland, the investor who knows what it takes because she's been there before. Liza brings 2 decades of hands-on startup experience, founder, funder, advisor, and accelerator lead, backing outlier funders who don't fit the mold but go on to raise millions. Then we have Christina Lazic, Google products brand strategist by day, and then an Ibiza DJ by night. Christina fuses tech world precision with creative soul, building brands, platforms, and record labels that make as much sense in a boardroom as they do on a dance floor. Then hello and welcome to Dondi Dix, the turnaround operator who brings calm to chaos. Dondi leads high stakes business transformation with many sharp system thinking and people first leadership, fixing structure, stabilizing teams, and making herself redundant when the job is done. And then a big welcome to Al Bucknam, the growth strategist guiding clean energy through the messy middle. Al brings calm clarity to scaling clean energy and industrial tech companies, fixing leadership teams, broken sales engines, and strategic direction when the stakes get the highest. And then welcome to Toby Laws, the brand strategist who makes every touch point count. Toby turns sprawling customer journeys into sharp, consistent brand experiences, whether he's launching foldable tech in clean rooms or reimagining Guinness from the ground up. Awesome. So first topic, this is an interesting one. So a lot of innovation going on. Netflix is innovating fast and pretty furious with a lot of new things coming out. They're expanding from just a streaming provider to physical sites for fans to visit, and even getting viewers to start voting on content while they're watching. At Coca-Cola, the CEO says he wants to make bigger and bolder bets as they seek to grow in the face of an economic climate that could be quite tough for them right now. As leaders, how should we be thinking about the balance between lots of small little experimental innovation or those big, bold bets that could change everything? Should we have a mix, or is there time for in a company's life cycle when it's good to go all in or to sort of do small incremental?
I like this topic a lot for two reasons. One is I work with a lot of tech startups, and on both sides of the table, and experimentation is a very big part of that. And when you're small and you're in new markets, it's important to experiment and keep the cost as low as possible and use the data in order to know what you go all in later. And that's what happens in investment with technology startups. With Netflix, they use their own budget and they're adding on to what they already have. So they have to keep their core business. So they don't want to necessarily do like a Meta from Facebook. It's more add on rather than doing something completely different, which I think you don't forget what your core is. Well, so I think it's a mix of experimenting with new things, keeping it lean. And then once you have the data to know that this is an area that can make a lot of profit and add to the business of the core, then you go all in. Another thing I would add to it is on top of the physical, I think right now the micro dramas are a big area and AI film studios. So there's a lot of activity there happening right now. And if I can get the names, I've made a note of them here. There's a lot of new area there. So for me, the advice would be to experiment with some of these tools to see what their audience is like, what type of microdramas they like, what kind of characters and such. And there are tools out there, if you look at Hedra, Runway, that are creating AI-enabled film. And then there are tools like Agento with a J, .app, that can create the consciousness engine to enable these characters to interact with each other, which is the big missing piece right now. So all of these things they can use to experiment with new content and format, which they can use already on their distribution platform. I don't know enough about the physical space, but that's my 2 cents on this area. So they can experiment with that. And then what's great is that this reduces their costs for the trailers immensely. And then they know what to do, what their core is, a lot better, and they don't have to spend too much money. They can stay lean while experimenting.
I'd like to piggyback on what Liza said, because I agree with what she said. And, you know, the companies I've worked with have tended to be a step beyond the startup. So in the steep part of the traditional S-shaped growth curve. And when you get to that stage, you are experimenting, you are trying to find your product market fit. But as Liza said, once you find it, you really have to focus. And so while even like I view all the things that Netflix is doing as experiments, given the scale of their streaming platform, setting up a few retail stores is a way for them to collect data before I think they place the big bet. But when you're capital constrained and you really have to focus that capital, you do have to sometimes burn the ships. I've seen actually some growth stage companies that have too much capital, and they go and you look at their technology roadmap, and they've got like 15 different things because we're like, well, one of these things might work, but they're being partially successful at 15 things and fully successful at nothing. So at some point, you got to burn the ships and say, this is where we're going. This is where the whole company is focused, and narrow it down to that because focus is the key to success in getting through that growth stage.
I completely agree with Al. I think the magic is knowing when that experiment becomes the strategy. And I think it's really important to be able to get all those experiments away because, consumer demand and consumer expectation is changing at a rate of knots. We have to try and understand what the consumer wants. So to do that, you've got to test and learn. I think you've got to set really robust KPIs and expectations about what success looks like. So when you've actually hit those metrics, you can either continue to progress in that way. We have a analogy that we use, PPK. So you can either progress, you can pivot, or you can kill. And if you progress it, you continue in the trajectory that you're going, the benchmarks are hitting where they need to go. You pivot, which you naturally might need to do, depending on audience participation, engagement levels, whatever it may be. Or you kill it, and you've got to be quite clear that actually, if it didn't work, you move on to the next thing. And then once you can progress something, that becomes the longer term strategy. So I think it's that really clear delineation between let's give it a go, but once it works, let's back it.
I wanted to add, I'm really glad to see Netflix used as an example for a couple of reasons. Based on what everyone has said, I think whether it's a small business, a medium-sized business, or a large business, when you look at Netflix as a brand, this isn't the first time that they've made some big bets and that they've constantly gone through innovation. I mean, there was a time when they took down Blockbuster because they were mailing out DVDs. So I think one of the things that everyone has already said is a very good point, and that is we've got to go with what the consumer needs now. But that doesn't mean that the company can't evolve with that. And it's okay to go through that ego death, and it's okay for your brand to persist across multiple generations, meeting what not they're, they're not a streaming platform. Actually meeting what they really are, and that's truly listening to what the consumer wants to consume in the next 5 years.
It would also be good to make a point about, I guess, the culture in the organization. So I don't know if you read their book, No Rules. I read that a long time ago, but their culture is very free. So experimentation should be pretty high there, and they should embrace it.
Yeah, I've seen something similar when I was working for Google. By the way, I left Google a couple of years ago, but when I was there, one thing that I really appreciated is that even if Google is a very big company with big budgets and a big structure, still things are, left very up to the local markets. There is a lot of freedom to test new things, to pilot projects. And then if these are successful locally, it is then very easy to scale them across multiple countries. So you can really take the example following like the structure that Toby was saying, for example, like if something is successful, you wouldn't kill it. You would keep it as an example and you can scale it to other markets and go big on that. Of course, if you then transfer something that, for example, started in Italy, to transfer it to the US, clearly it's different size of market with different budgets and you can take the approach and apply it with the nuances of the local market, but with different also capabilities and availability of budget, people, etc. So that's something that I've learned to use as an approach in something that I'm doing as well now. Music, clearly, it's very different, but I also try to test, of course, with very limited resources compared to what I had when I was at Google. But I'm testing new ways of, different ways of collaborating with the artists or on my own, or also when it comes to releasing music. There are different ways in which you can release music. You can prioritize. In my specific case, I can sometimes prioritize certain artists that I want to send my music to, hoping that they may want to release the music on their own labels. Or you may want to send it to multiple artists, and then you see what's the demand, and then you can choose the label you want to work with. So I like to have also this type of pilot approach into what I'm doing now as an artist, which I've learned from Google.
Fantastic. I think that the key takeaway I'm getting from everyone is like setting up the organization, the culture, to be open to play and to experiment, and then also making sure to include those markers of success so that you actually know what that looks like. Because I see a lot of people sort of like, oh, well, we'll test this and we'll do this, and not actually knowing what they want to achieve at the end of it. That really does seem like the best way to structure things is to have that room to play, build that into the culture, so the culture of innovation, and then making sure you know what you're looking for as that marker of success.
And the interesting thing about a lot of film media, especially when it comes to the experimentation, like the Netflix example that Dante gave, obviously they took down Blockbuster. And I find it fascinating now that, you know, like fashion, it's cyclical, what these trends are, in the sense that, you know, Netflix is the streaming giant that killed cinemas, hyperbolically speaking anyway, and now they're coming back into physical spaces. So I wonder what they see and wonder what they've heard to justify this, because obviously they don't make it on a whim, these decisions of like, let's build a giant piss on multiplex and make it over on films and stuff like that. But I'm curious to see what they've heard, because, you know, similar things have happened with music. Obviously, you know, vinyl's had a big resurgence. I've hundreds of records, which is ridiculous given the cost of the things, but it's I do find it funny how it ends up being people go back to what they know. Maybe it's a comfort thing, maybe it's because, you know, the new thing isn't what's all shaped up to be, who knows.
So I think to build on that, just in terms of how brands are now being received by consumers, is bigger than it's ever been. You know, I look after omnichannel marketing. It's making sure that brand feel is the same every single touch point. So yeah, you create that affinity loop about how actually people connect with your brand. It's got to show up in the same way through the emotional connotations, the visual connotations, the tone of voice, and every single one of those touch points. And now consumers are looking for more than their brands than just, you know, they're looking for more than Netflix just to purely be a browser on a Saturday night where they can get the latest TV show. They want it to be a much more ephemeral experience. And I think actually that's where a brand really plays to its strengths these days, where it can actually seed into different parts of culture. And I think it's the tentacle is getting longer and longer.
And Guinness is kind of a masterclass in that. Like, it's an old guard brand that's really had a great resurgence. Like, I'm wearing a pair of Guinness socks right now, you know. There's so much great merch on top of the fact that it's fantastic beer too. And not to suck up too much, Toby, but it's fantastic.
We'll chat later, Josh.